How's everyone doing tonight? Welcome, welcome to Oasis. We're so glad that you're with us. Let's all start by standing up together. We're going to start by singing Happy Day, and then we'll have some announcements, and then we'll get into our message for tonight.
Greatest day in history, death is beaten, you have rescued me. Sing it out, Jesus is alive. Empty cross, empty grave, life eternal, you have won the day. Celebrate, Jesus is alive.
Just so you know, Oasis happens every Saturday at 7 o'clock, and we do this every week. We come together, we sing songs to praise and glorify God, the Father, and just thank Him for His Son, Jesus Christ. We open up the Scripture, we read the stories that God has given to us, His love letter to us, and we apply it to our lives. Afterwards, we go in the back, and we try to have at least one meaningful conversation about what we've heard tonight. And discuss that with someone and say, this is what spoke to me, this is what I need to change, this is what I need to fix, and kind of hold each other accountable while we eat some cookies and drink some coffee. So that's what Oasis is. We're really glad you've joined us tonight. So let's go ahead and stand up as we continue our worship together.
I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Spirit is within me because you died and rose again.
Sing Amazing Love.
Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, will die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. It is my joy to honor you in all I.
So much for everything you've given us, Lord. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, and for his death on the cross. We thank you for your healing power, Lord. It looks not just at our physical bodies, but at our hearts, God. Lord, I pray that tonight you would speak to us, that we would hear a message from you that would penetrate our hearts and show us the truth of your word. God, I pray that we would be transformed, that you would be glorified in Jesus' name.
Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, will die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor you.
Tonight we're going to be in 1 John. 1 John is my favorite book in the entire Bible. I preach in 1 John at least once a year, sometimes twice a year, depending. And it seems like God just keeps bringing me back to 1 John for whatever reason. I guess he's got something for me to learn, and so I'm just going to pass that on to you. And so I'm really excited to be back in 1 John. I've been praying about where do you want me to go, God? So I go to 1 John, and he always speaks to me. So tonight, I pray that God will meet with you and give you the message that he's been wanting to tell you for a long time, that maybe for whatever reason just hasn't quite gotten through to you. And I believe that's going to happen tonight. So if you have your Bible, turn to
turn to 1 John chapter 1. That's page 1021. If you have an ESV, 1021. It's right past 2 Peter, if you can find 2 Peter, which is right past Hebrews and James, which are impossible to find. But Jace will put it up on the screen for us too, if you don't have your Bible for you tonight. But I want to start verse number 1 of 1 John. It says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life, the life was made manifest, and we have seen it, and testify to it, and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father, and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. And we are his witnesses, these things. And we are witnessing these things so that our joy may be complete." Verse 5, this is the message that they got. Let me just pause real quick. The whole section we just read, they're saying, look, we're telling you something that we experienced personally. We touched it, we saw it, we tasted it, we felt it, we walked with Jesus on a daily basis, personally, and we experienced the life. And this life that we experienced was so radical and transformative in our lives that we actually have fellowship around this, that we have this commonality around this life that has just changed us forever, and we have this relationship with God Almighty. And we want you to have the same relationship. This is not something that we're just making up on the fly. This isn't theory. This is what we have put into practice in our lives and experienced, and we want you to experience it too. Because until I tell you about this, my heart will burn inside of me. My joy will not be complete, and this is what they're saying. And here's the message. This is the message, verse number 5, that we have heard from him. This is a message that the disciples heard from God Almighty, from Jesus Christ, and they want to tell you tonight. And this is the message, that God is light. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. You see, God is not just a source of light. He is the source of light. He is light. And in God, there's no darkness at all. Not one tiny little speck of darkness. Okay? So get this. This is going to be important as we go forward. Verse 6. If we say we have fellowship with him, while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Okay, God is light, he is perfect, he is pure, and there is no darkness at all in him. There's a lot of darkness out there tonight because we didn't turn the lights up any at all. But that's okay. You guys will deal with it. Does anybody need light? You good? All right. So God is light. And then it goes on to say about this sin thing. Now, sin is not really, it's magical. That's awesome. Sin is not really a word that gets thrown around a lot, you know? It's not something we use in a day-to-day conversation. And so I think even for Christians, we kind of don't get sin. We've kind of lost what sin means. Everybody sins, but the word really doesn't mean a lot. Even Christians are kind of desensitized to what the word sin means in our life, okay? How many of you have ever heard this kind of phrase before? There's an English colloquialism, we'll call it, an idiom. It is a saying in our English American culture, right? And it goes something like this. They think their poop doesn't stink. Anybody hear that before? Yes. They think their poop doesn't stink. And usually there's another word in there, okay? A more colorful English word, we might say, but I'm not supposed to use that up here or else Pastor Joe would hang me outside. But if you don't know what that word is, come to me afterwards, I will spell it out for you, okay? But there's this saying that they think their poop doesn't stink. What does that saying mean? Can anybody help me out here tonight? What? Savannah. They think they're perfect, right? They think that they don't have a problem. Everybody else has this problem, but I am way above that problem, right? But the truth is, and this might shock you, the truth is everybody poops and everybody stinks. Okay? Now hang with me here. I know some of you guys are like, oh, I can't believe he's talking like that. You know what? That's why they have the phrase for people like you. No, it's true. Everybody does this thing, this natural human thing, and it stinks. Everybody poops, and everybody stinks. Everybody stinks. So I think the word poop, as harsh and gross as it is really a better word than sin to help us understand what's happening here and what he's talking about in 1 John chapter 1. It really is, because when we think of the word poop, everyone's like, oh, that's so gross. That's what you should feel when you think of the word sin. But when I said the word sin earlier, you didn't feel anything, probably. I'm guessing, like, I didn't feel anything when I wrote the word sin, when I look at the word sin. I don't feel anything. But all of a sudden, when you say the word poop, everyone's like, oh, awkward, emotional grossness, right? And that's good. That's what you should feel when we're talking about this, because God is pure and perfect and holy, and we have a poop problem. So let me read this for you real quick. Stick with me. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 through 10. If we say we have no poop, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Right? You can accept that? Okay. If we confess our poop, he is faithful and just to forgive us our poop and to cleanse us from all poopiness. If we say we have not pooped, we make him a liar, and the word is not in us. Now, when I read it like that, does that not seem like obvious to you? Like, duh, right? It's so obvious. But for us as Christians, we think sometimes that, well, I don't have a sin problem. That's something that only really bad people do. That's something that only happens with people who are like far away from God, who are really messed up. I mean, they're doing drugs and murdering people, you know. I don't really have a sin problem. Well, yeah, everybody's got this thing. It happens regularly, hopefully regularly, you know, and not sin, but the other thing, you know. If we deal with this, and it's a fact of life, everybody has pooped, everybody does poop, and it needs cleaned up right away. Can you at least agree with me on that? It needs cleaned up right away. So is it okay if I go back to using the word sin now? And every time I say the word sin, you're going to hear the other word? You promise? And we could go back to using sin now because it's like kind of uncomfortable, right? Okay, so any of you ever have a dog that sinned in the house? Right? You've had a dog that sinned in the house, and this is why I don't want a pet. A dog or cat, and they're not supposed to sin in the house. So what do? Have you ever had one of these in there? I don't know why they do this, but they go behind the couch. You know what I'm talking about? And they hide. Like nobody's going to see them sin. Like nobody's going to know about it. I'm just going to go back, hide behind the couch. I'm going to sin. And nobody will know about it. That's not true. Everybody knows your sin. They can smell your sin as soon as they sit on the couch. Am I right? And they know that you're sinning. The only place to hide our sin is outside of God's light. The only place that we can hide our sin is outside of God's light. And all of us have this problem. All of us have this problem. And it's dangerous in the dark. It's very dangerous in the dark. We'll get to that in a little bit later. But I want to keep moving forward. 1 John chapter 2, Verses 1 and 2, it says, "My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." This is what he's saying here. I'm writing this to you because I don't want you to sin anymore. I want you to fix this problem, this uncleanness in your life that is totally against God and his righteousness and his holiness. I want you to deal with this issue of sin in your life. But if you do sin, don't panic. Don't try to run in the corner and hide it, because it's just going to stink. Your life is going to stink if you try to hide your own sin and just put it in the darkness and not tell anyone about it and think it's just going to go away. It's not going to go away. When Jesus went to the cross, do you really think that he thought, okay, I'm going to die on the cross, and then they're going to pray one prayer, and they're never going to sin again? You really think Jesus believed that? I don't. He's God Almighty. He knew exactly what he was getting himself into. How many of you have little kids? Right? How many parents? Okay? Before I was a parent, I would never, ever touch a dirty diaper in my whole life. I would not get anywhere close to it. But if I were to ask, Rhonda, how many dirty diapers have you changed in your life? There's no infinity, right? Who knows? It's just, you wouldn't even think about it, right? It's just boom, boom, done, you know? It's not that big a deal, because as a parent, I've been there, I've done that, you know? How many of you moms have cleaned up, like throw up or something really gross? Okay, you've been there, done that? Yeah? How do you do that? How do you do that without just like getting completely sick and disgusted yourself? It's something magical that happens when you become a mom, right? Right? No. You just do it, right? You're in it for the long haul. You had these kids. They're not going away. You're just in it. So if I got to clean this up, I'm going to clean this up. I'm not going to just say, oh, you're disgusting. I'm getting a new kid. No, it's not going to work that way. It's not going to work that way. And my wife and I will fight over who's going to change the next diaper and stuff. And then you do the whole pretend, I didn't smell anything. I didn't smell anything. It's fine with me, right? And meanwhile, it's just this horrible smell, you know? It's like everybody knows about it. It's there. And if you don't deal with it, then they're going to get a diaper rash and they're going to get sick. And worse things can happen. It's the same application in our lives with sin. If we don't deal with this problem that we all have that nobody wants to talk about, of sin and brokenness and the disgusting stuff that's hidden in our minds and in our hearts, it's going to make our life stink. And we're going to get sick from it. You could totally get sick from it. So Jesus knew what the process of growing was going to be like in our lives. He knew how messy and disgusting it was going to be. And he said, I'll do it. I'm in. So how do I know if I'm getting better in my life? How do I know if I'm maturing as a Christian? Right now we're in the throes of potty training with Jake, and some days are good and some days are not so good, you know? But you know that as you mature, then you get to where you can take care of this problem in a clean way and not have to tell anybody when it happens, right? You could just going to deal with it and move on with life. And that's what we want to grow to as a Christian. So what are the signs that we're getting better? Look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 through 5. It says, "And by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word in him, truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked." You know, when you know the love of God, the love of the Father, then your sin will not be a problem anymore. When the love of the Father gets in you and through you, it will change you. When the love of God the Father gets in you and through you, it will transform you. It will change you. The thing that had such a grip on you before, on your heart, it will lose its value. It will lose its value. And I know it's true. This is what it says. If it says, and by this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. Verse 4, whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Verse 5, but whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. That means the love of God has become mature and taken up root in your life, and it's doing its thing. So what is the sign that the love of the Father has gotten in me? All right? How do I know if God's love is really in me or not? How do I know that? Well, the next verses tell us. 1 John chapter 2, verse 9 through 11. We're going to drop down to verse 9. It says, whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Lee, can you grab the transparencies off my desk? I forgot to bring them up here. So, how do we know? What is a sign of whether or not the Father's love has gotten in you and through you? Number one is, what is your go-to emotion? What is your go-to emotion? All right, if someone takes you off, someone cuts you off in traffic, someone does something mean, something nasty to you, something disgusting, whatever, what is your go-to emotion? Is it love or is it hate? Love or hate? If your go-to emotion is to hate someone, to get angry, to get bitter, you know, just kind of, that's where you go as a person in your heart and in your emotion, then the love of the Father is not in you. The love of the Father is not in you. You got something else going on inside of you. And guaranteed, you've got a big sin issue. You've got a sin issue going on in your life. The love of the Father is not in you. Your go-to emotion is hate and bitterness. So you got a sin issue going on in your life. I guarantee it. Because unless the love of the Father is in you, and you're in the light, you're going to have a sin issue. You're going to have an ongoing sin problem. Okay? So, is your go-to emotion to be bitter, angry, and hateful? Or is your go-to emotion to be living or loving, forgiving, and gracious? If your go-to emotion when somebody does something mean to you and rotten to you is to be loving, to forgive them, to be gracious towards them, then that means the love of the Father is doing its thing inside of you. You say, well, how is that? How is that? Well, this is what your thought process is going to be, okay? Say Jim Clare slaps me in the face, right? Horrible thing to do, Jim, by the way. I can't believe you did that in church, no less. Sorry. Jim Clare gets mad. He smacks me in the face. Rah! What is my go-to emotion? Oh, why did you do that to me? I'm going to get you back. Is it that? Or is it like this? Is it like this? God loves me, and God cleans up my sin. Okay? God loves me, and he cleans up my sin. What right do I have, then, to hate Jim for his sin? All of us sin, and God has graciously and lovingly stepped into my life in spite of my mess, the darkness in my heart, the brokenness in my mind, all the things that go on that I don't want anyone to know about and that I think are hidden. God sees them and he knows them and he's dealt with them. He said, Ron, I still love you. Let me help you with this. Let me help you with this. Let me teach you how to get through this. And he loved me in spite of my brokenness. So how then can I hate a brother because of their brokenness? You see how that works? See how that thought process works? There's not a hint of denial in my heart then. And this is what the thought process looks like. The Father's love is real, and my go-to emotion has to be love. The Father's love for me is real, and so my go-to emotion has to be love. And that's how it works. When the love of the Father is really inside of you, When God is just filling you daily with his light and his love, you will not be able to help but forgive and be gracious to other people. It'll just happen. I mean, yeah, you might get a temptation to be like angry for a moment, but then instantly you're going to be like, well, look at all God forgave me for. Right? Look at all God forgave me for. And if that's not your thought, then that whole phrase we talked about before, that you don't have a problem with that one thing that we talked about that's really gross, that's you. You're in denial. But when you know the truth, that I'm a messed up person, and the Father loves me in spite of my mess ups, and he cleans me up, and he holds me in his arms, and he watches over me and protects me, how can I then not love my brother? My go-to emotion has to be love. If your go-to emotion is something else, that's a sign that the Father's love is just not getting through. All right, number two, what's the second sign? So the first one was, you know, is your go-to emotion love or hate? The second one is this. What do you love? What do you love? Look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. All that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride in possessions is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. What do you love? What are your wants? Okay? It says, don't love the world or the things that are in the world. Because if you do, then the love of the Father is not in you. Okay? What's your go-to emotion? If your go-to emotion is hate, ding, 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 red flag, you got a problem. The love of the Father is not in there. Number two, what do you love? Well, I love, you know, Ron, my go-to emotion is, hey, I love, man. I'm all about love. All you need is love, you know. Okay, but what do you love? What do you want? We talked about before, what is a good definition of love? It's what am I willing to make a sacrifice for? What am I willing to make a sacrifice for? Okay? So here's the list of them. It says the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. So I kind of break these down into wants. Simplify them a little bit, help you understand them. Okay? I want more of that. I want that thing that I don't have, and I want everybody to see what I have. Okay? Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride and possessions. I want more of that. I want that thing that I don't have, and I want you to see what I have. Okay, so how's that work? Let's see. New car. Man, I love driving my car. You know, it's so awesome. I want to drive my car more. I just want to drive my car more. Then you're driving by, and you see a newer car, a nicer car. Oh, I want that car. Man, I want that car. Okay? Or I want everybody to see me in my new car, right? Those are the three things. Same thing with relationships, with sex. I want more sex. I want sex with people that I'm not supposed to have sex with. And I want everybody to know that I am a free, open person and I can get whatever I want. It happens all the time. What about money? I want more of that money. I want their money. I want everybody to know how much money I have. Okay? Those are the wants in the world. What do you want? What do you want? What is your love focused on? What are you willing to make a sacrifice for? If those wants are outside of the Father, outside of the light, if your go-to wants, if your go-to loves, and I struggle with this. I mean, last week, I told you guys straight out, I love coffee and I'm willing to make sacrifices for coffee. I gotta watch that stuff. I mean, that's a silly thing. There's much worse things that I'm not going to tell you about. But, you know, we all have these things, these desires. We got to look at that and say, do I really need this thing? And why am I so attached? Why am I so wanting this thing? Is it so that everyone will see me with it and think how awesome I am? What is it? Why do I have this want? Why do I have this desire in my life? Is this substituting for the love of the Father? For the love of Almighty God, the pure, the light, the clean, you know, coming out into the open. Because I can do all these wants in the darkness. Outside of the Father, it says if you hate your brother, then you're not in the light, you're in the darkness. And because you're in the darkness, you're going to stumble, you're going to fall, you're going to be blind, you're not going to see what's going on. You're really not going to understand what's going on around you. You're walking in darkness. And there's something blocking the flow of the Father's love into you. This morning, I was watching TV with my kids. And we got to this, like, PSA. I don't know what channel we're watching, like, the educational kids channel or something. And it was all about fire and don't play with matches and danger and all this stuff. And so they're telling them, and they said, don't play with matches, okay? And if you do, then you tell mommy and daddy right away. Because what you don't want to do is run and hide. Because if you play with matches and then you run and hide, you could catch the house on fire and burn up everybody you love, right? It's kind of heavy for a kid's commercial, but you know, hey, it's got the message across. It's the same thing with us. Same thing is true with us. If you find yourself outside of the Father's love, outside of God's light, outside of his pureness and his holiness that you see in the scripture and that you just know, you can feel it in yourself that I'm not clean, my life stinks, then you got to say, what am I doing? Am I running and hiding? Am I going to start a bigger fire that's going to mess me up? Or am I, or what's going on there? What has happened in your life? And I don't, some of you guys asked why this was up here. This is for a cool illustration, hopefully. Well, of course, everybody had to play with it. So you're all adjusted. Don't worry. So anyways, God is light, right? And his light shines, and it's pure, and it's clean, and it's great. Okay? But what happens in our lives is sometimes there's something that can block the Father's love, his light, from getting through to us. And we don't even know it. We don't even know it. And because of this, when we come to church, when we read the Bible, when we hear the word sin, when we hear the word God, we see something very different than what the truth is. Because we're blinded, because something has wedged itself in between the light and us. Like this. You see that? Right? And so instead of seeing God in the pure white, we got something else that's blurry, and it's a lie that's kind of wedged itself in our heart. And the closer I get, the more blurry it gets, you know? And if you've been at this for a long time, maybe years and years ago you went to church and someone told you something and you got a misconception about God, or because your mom or your dad did something or somebody said something, you had an experience in your life. And so there's this big blurry thing that's kind of hanging in here. And when we talk about God, then this is what you're seeing. You're seeing this like blurry thing, and it's a disconnect between the love of the Father, between the pure light shining in your heart to transform you, to change you, to be everything that's awesome about God the Father. But it's missing you because you got something in between you and God. And that something is a lie. That something is a lie. And it says here that God is light. Something distorts that light. And there's this whole section in 1 John that for a long time I just thought was really random. Why would he put this in here? He's got this great flow going, you know, God is light and we all have sin. And if we go to God and confess our sin, he'll clean us up and it's wonderful. And if you don't, try not to sin, but if you do, then you can go to the Father and he'll clean it up and it's great. And here's these signs of, you know, do you love your brother? Do you hate your brother? And then there's this chunk here in verse 12. And it's like kind of poetic. And it just doesn't seem to make sense until it dawned on me. That this chunk here, verses 12 through 14, is the truth that God needs to put into our lives to get rid of the lie. To get rid of this lie. And sometimes we don't believe the truth. And so, tonight, before we close, I want to speak some truth into your life. And I believe, I truly believe with all my heart, that there are people here tonight that have a lie wedged in between them and God that is preventing them from knowing God the way that God wants to know them. It's just a blockage. It's just keeping you from knowing who God Almighty really is. I know this is true because it happened in my life. Growing up in church, going to church every week and every Sunday, I believed a lie about who God was and what he thought of me. And because of that, there was shame and guilt and all kinds of other stuff, baggage that came along with this idea of God the Father. So I want to speak some truth to you tonight. Here's the first one. You don't have to do anything to earn my love. You don't have to do anything to earn my love. This is God the Father speaking to you. You don't have to do anything to earn my love. There's nothing that you could say or do to stop my love. It's all on me. Here's another truth that he wants to speak into your heart. You don't have to carry that responsibility. You don't have to carry that responsibility. I've been running the universe long before you, and after you, I will still be running the universe. Trust me, I got this. I got this. You don't have to carry that responsibility. Just relax. And here's the final one. It's going to be okay. God the Father speaking to you tonight, it is going to be okay. You're going to turn out great. You've already turned out great. And I can't wait for you to discover my dream for you. Everything is going to be just fine. I got this. And I believe the Father wants to say to us, so why don't you just come sit on my lap and let me just love on you. Let me just love on you. Some of the sweetest moments I get are early in the morning when I go downstairs and I sit in my chair and my kids, one of them or both of them, will come and just jump up in my lap and they just want to lay there with Daddy. The other night, Lucas got up, you know, in the middle of the night and he was scared. Man, I'm scared. You know, what do I do? And I said, just come lay with Daddy. And he lay with me for a bit. Are you ready to go downstairs? Yeah, I'm ready. And then we start to go downstairs. No, I'm still scared. All right, well, how about I sit with you for a little bit? So I sit with him in my chair in the living room. Just rocked him. Just loved him. Till he was ready to go back into his bed. And you know, we need the same thing. We absolutely need the same thing. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how mature you are. You need the love of the Father in your life. You absolutely need the love of the Father in your life. I know that some of you walked in here tonight with a lie lodged deep in your heart that you were believing. And something has kept you in the dark about who God the Father is. Maybe it was something like, I'm not good enough. To that, God says, I am. I got you. Maybe you believe, I can't do this. I just can't carry this load anymore. And God says, I've got it. Maybe tonight you said, I failed way too much. I failed way too much. And God says, you're stronger than you think. I've seen the future, and with me, you win every single time. Let's all stand together tonight. Every head bowed, every head closed. And I wonder if you identify with any of these. And I encourage you to go home and read those verses 12 through 14. But he says, little children, I'm writing to you so you know your sin is forgiven. You don't have to do anything to earn me, to deserve forgiveness. I just want you to know I've already done it. And it says, fathers, I'm writing to you because you know that I have been here from the beginning. As parents, we carry all kinds of responsibilities. responsibilities for our kids, for our home, for life, for everything. And we carry this weight on our shoulders that I got to do this, I got to be this, I got to carry all of this. And God the Father says, look, I've been running the whole universe. I've got this. Relax. Come sit in my arms. And then he says, young man, young person. And I know as a young person, we fail so much. We're trying to get ahead. We're trying to figure out what we're supposed to do with life. And it seems like it's just chaotic mess. And God says, look, I want you to know you're stronger than you think. You've overcome the world. I've seen the future. We win together. So stick with it. Dear God, Father, Lord, you know the hearts of each and every person that came here tonight. You know the brokenness, you know the sin stuff, you know the lies that they've believed that have been lodged in their heart. Lord, I pray that tonight you'd radically transform them, that you would remove that lie that's been stuck there for years. Maybe even just a lie that began this week that they heard. That you would just gently remove that. Help them see the light. Help them see how pure and perfect you are. God, I pray that we'd not have anything between us and your truth. Lord, don't let us be ashamed to come into the light, to confess our sin, to get clean. Thank you. Thank you for washing us, making us pure, making us holy, making us your child. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, every week we take up an offering as part of our worship. And the offering is simple. It's an opportunity for you to give your stuff back to God.
To say, I trust you, Lord. I trust you, Father, with what I have. You've given to me, and I will give back to you. And it's a way of trusting and of being obedient to him. So I encourage you to take part in that. We have a plate in the back. We have a couple plates on the side. You just drop it on your way out. We're going to sing a closing song. We're going to sing Amazing Love. And after that,
we're going to go in the back.
And I encourage you to stick around at least long enough to have a meaningful conversation with someone. To meet someone new or talk to someone you know and talk about this idea of, is the Father's love really in your heart? Do you really know God the Father? Or do you think there's a misconception? And just bring that. Say, do you think God does this? Do you think God's like, this is what I think when I think of God. Do you think that's right? And talk about that and share that. And I believe that God will start to work a healing in your heart.
Forgive me. I'm forgiven. Jesus, you